It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll hear about legislation co-sponsored by a Wisconsin congressional representative aimed at preventing dead zones in Wisconsin waterways.
First, 50 years ago today, in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson signed the Voting Rights Act into law, which prohibited any form of racial discrimination when it comes to voting. Some have called it the most successful civil rights statute in the nation's history and the crown jewel of the civil rights movement.
50 years later, the law stands on unsteady ground, especially after a 2013 Supreme Court ruling that invalidated a key part of that law. And there have been court battles over voter ID laws around the country, with a federal appeals court ruling this week against a Texas voter ID law.
Here with us to talk about that case and the Voting Rights Act 50 years later is Josh Douglas. He's an associate professor of law at the University of Kentucky. Josh, thanks a lot for joining us.
Happy to be here.
So 50 years after the passage of the Voting Rights Act, where does the act stand today?
Well, the act is really, as you said in the introduction, a beacon of the civil rights movement. And yet court decisions have really questioned how successful the act can be moving forward in really protecting and expanding the right to vote. We've had some key court decisions that really weaken the act. And so voting rights advocates moving forward are looking for ways to both strengthen the act for the courts and seek legislative fixes for what the Supreme Court did in its 2013 decision.
So we're going to go back to 1965 now in the civil rights era for a moment. How did this legislation come to be in the first place?
Well, it was really a part of the broader struggle for civil rights during that time period. And in particular, there was a concern about some states, particularly in the South, that were staying one step ahead of the courts in denying the right to vote to racial minorities. What you would have is a state in the South craft some sort of a test or device to prevent registration or voting.
And what kind of thing would that? Minorities. What kind of thing would that be?
Well, things like literacy tests and really complicated literacy tests that, you know, I couldn't pass if I tried to take it and actually pass. There's so much discretion. Questions like, can you tell me how many bubbles there are in a bar of soap? Were kind of the common things that Southern registrars would impose on particularly African-American voters to prevent them from registering and prevent them from voting. And so Congress and really President Johnson, through a coalition of civil rights leaders, saw the need for a federal fix to this. And one of the key provisions of the Voting Rights Act is known as Section 5. And what Section 5 does is it says states in certain areas that have a history of racial discrimination, before you can enact a new law and put it into practice, you have to get federal approval for it. It's known as preclearance. Basically what that means is you have to go to the Department of Justice in D.C. or a federal court to demonstrate that the law doesn't have a discriminatory purpose, wasn't passed for the reason of discrimination, and it's not going to have discriminatory effect on minority voters. And that was the key provision at issue in the 2013 case.
Right, and that was actually struck down in 2013. What happened?
Well, so when Congress passed this law in 1965, there's several different provisions, but this one, Section 5, it said, you know, we don't think we need Section 5, this federal oversight on southern states forever. We think there can be a sunset period, a date by which the act will expire, this portion of the act will expire. And Congress set it at 5 years initially, and then when it was about to expire, Congress renewed it for another 7. It was about to expire, renewed it again, and Congress has continually renewed it. In 1982, Congress renewed it for 25 years, and each time it was renewed, it was challenged all the way to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court had upheld it. And then in 2006, the act was set to expire once again, and Congress reauthorized it for another 25 years, saying that we're still not where we need to be in terms of equality in voting, and that certain southern states still need that federal oversight. So it was really that reauthorization, that extending of the act for an additional 25 years in 2006 that was before the court. And the court in 2013, this case known as Shelby County, said that Congress stepped over its bounds, that the Congress did not have the evidence it needed to reauthorize the act for another 25 years. The court, in a 5-4 decision, with Chief Justice Roberts writing the opinion, said times have changed since the act was initially passed, and it the court did not feel that Congress had the same kind of evidence that it had 50 years ago about the inequalities in voting.
We're talking to Josh Douglas right now, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Kentucky. We're talking about the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act, and we were just talking about Act 5, which called for this preclearance of any law that could perhaps pose discriminatory rules on certain groups of people. So now that that preclearance act is no longer active, what is it? How does the law usually get used? How does it function today?
Well, now the key part of the act is in Section 2. And Section 2 prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, but the key difference here is that instead of having oversight for an act get implemented, a plaintiff has to sue, and the state can use the electoral practice that's being challenged during the pendency of the litigation. Now, litigation can take years as it wades its way through the court system. So the really important part about Section 5 is it stopped the state from implementing a law for an upcoming election until the federal government or a federal court said it wouldn't be discriminatory. Now a state like Texas with its voter ID law can implement the law for the next election, and it'll get sued under Section 2 for saying that the law has a discriminatory purpose or a discriminatory effect. But Texas can continue using that law during the litigation, and that's exactly what's happened. So the timing is really one key component here of what was different between the old regime before the Supreme Court's decision in that 2013 case and today's world.
Okay, so fast-forwarding to this case in Texas that would just happen this week, a federal appeals panel ruled that a strict voter ID law in the state there was in violation of the Voting Rights Act. Now this case has been watched by legal observers to see if the Voting Rights Act can stand without that key provision that the Supreme Court struck down. So what do you make of this ruling?
Well, I think it was an important ruling because it affirmed the lower court's finding that the law as implemented by Texas would have a discriminatory effect. What that basically means is that the court found that more minority voters would lack an ID or the documentation required to get an ID than the majority white voters. And Section 2 prohibits voting rules that have a discriminatory effect, an effect that makes minority voters worse off. So I think it's a really important decision in demonstrating that Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act still has some teeth. Now, what remains to be seen is what happens if and when this case gets to the U.S. Supreme Court, because just like the court gutted the Section 5 preclearance provision, I think there's some concern that the court might cut at the knees of Section 2 as well.
So where do you see this moving forward as we have this Texas ruling in? You talked about Act 2. What is the next sticking point as we go forward?
I think the big sticking point is, did Congress have the authority to regulate elections under Section 2 for claims of vote denial? Like, a challenge to a voter ID law says, you're denying my right to vote because I can't produce the ID. Traditionally, this Section 2 that prohibits discriminatory effects applies to redistricting, or has applied to redistricting, the drawing of legislative lines. And so it's a little bit, I wouldn't say novel, but it's a different theory when we're using Section 2 on these vote denial cases as opposed to talking about the way we draw district lines. And again, I think one concern of voting rights advocates is that the Supreme Court might say, no, Section 2 only applies to redistricting and does not apply to these kinds of vote denial cases. And that can be a real problem for people trying to challenge voter ID laws. Which another important thing about this, this federal appeals court in Texas that issued this decision yesterday, is that it actually ruled for the state on some of the other claims. It ruled that the plaintiffs didn't show enough evidence of discriminatory purpose, that is, that the law was purposely trying to discriminate against minorities. It ruled that the voter ID law was not an impermissible poll tax. And so this Section 2 was the only thing that the plaintiffs won on. And so if the court strikes at this kind of use of Section 2, then it could be further difficult for plaintiffs to win these kinds of claims.
Josh, thanks a lot for joining us today.
I'm glad to do so. Thanks so much.
That was Josh Douglas, Associate Professor of Law at the University of Kentucky. He joined us to talk about the 50th anniversary of the Voting Rights Act.